Extrañas y Estrellas. Strangers and Stars discuss the Midwest's Mexican cuisine. Part 1. Iowa. Four strangers to Mexico and one Michelin star. A married couple, two roommates, and an unborn baby walk into a cantina, and a taqueria, and a library. Enter our four protagonists. All college students, they set about planning an extremely expensive dinner getaway to explore the world of Mexican cuisine, to make believe in a collegiate spring break for the last time, and to get the hell out of town for a day. While we can't travel to Mexico, we can visit with the people who have brought their passion for Mexican culture, cuisine, and art here with them to the Midwest. There is Madeline, an aspiring author and dual journalism and English major from Oklahoma, who loves to go against the grain and pair red wines with seafood. There is Rachel, a self-described good old southern gal from Texas, who is as eager to drink in the performative nature of our culinary trip as she was the 9-course agave tasting menu. There is my wife, Caitlin, a vegetarian Californian hippie, long gone from the hills of Los Angeles and squared firmly in her second trimester of pregnancy. Then there was me, a 13-year veteran of kitchen life that literally grew up in gastronomy and a lover of unsweetened iced tea. This was our first stop of three. We would visit Mexican restaurants in Ankeny, Iowa City, and Chicago as one fractured and busy group, researching what lay behind Mexican cuisine's sudden and international rise in acclaim, during a breakneck road trip in a salvage title Mazda 3 sedan. We packed no bags, we left no emergency contact information, and we changed our clothes in our ragamuffin vehicle in a downtown Chicago parking garage. From a successful taco truck turned taqueria, now built into a meat market, to a Michelin star dinner in Rick Bayless's personal library, we set out to explore these strangers and stars in the Mexican culinary art scene throughout the Midwest, understand why they are not only succeeding, but thriving, in the midst of a global pandemic. We traveled the region in a 21-hour nonstop trip, collected the truncated histories of cooks as they brought their skills and recipes with them, and listened to the concerns, worries, and hopeful outlooks of chefs and patrons staying put in an industry bleeding over 30% of its revenue at the moment. It was a spectacular time, and it started through the doors of a local Ankeny cantina. Red snapperfish and a stone bowl. El Molcajete is a gem. It is on the same block as four other Mexican restaurants, including the extremely popular restaurant Cazador, where wait times on weekends can be hours long. Having opened in mid-2019, caught in between the looming pandemic and razor-thin profit margins, when over 110,000 restaurants would shutter permanently, El Molcajete chose what for many restaurants would be a death knell of bad timing. El Molcajete's high-quality, loyal customer base and truly unique offerings have made them a pandemic staple for the community. Under careful direction, dedication to tradition, and serious resilience, the restaurant quickly became a welcome community fixture. While the word authentic gets thrown around a lot, owner and chef Abraham Murguia strives to bring it to his restaurant. In a conversation that spanned 90 minutes, he described the Mexican furniture, the family recipes his family brought from Guadalajara, and what led him to open a restaurant in Iowa after working in Mexico, Colorado, and Montana. His mission to establish an authentic, competitive Mexican offering in the area was clear, and so Abraham came up with a name. The Molcajete is super Mexican. It's not a town, it's not a state. Every single Mexican family has Molcajete somewhere in the house. It is a real and authentic name, he said. Molcajetes, which are a kind of mortar and pestle, are giant stone bowls typically made of granite and used to grind ingredients into sauces, medleys, and spice mixes. The four of us saw the value of a molcajete put to use. We had fresh ground salsas and a giant molcajete served full of shrimp, fresh chopped cilantro, and a red hot sauce still bubbling from the heat of the broiler. We dug in and talked home cooking. The recipes Abraham and his family knew from their homes and travels, something Abraham believes is mandatory to truly learn about good food, and made them here. Raised on farms and trained as classical chefs in Jalisco, they brought incredible technique and know-how and combined it with locally sourced pork from Perry, Iowa, and certified Black Angus beef. It also encouraged risk-taking in Abraham's family menu building. El Molcajete's menu features many items that cannot be found at competing restaurants or are unfamiliar to many American diners. Abraham hopes that in the coming seasons, people will learn about and appreciate the traditional approach his team has taken with their Mexican dishes. People are coming to get what they've normally been getting for years, fajitas, burgers, margaritas, the most popular things in general, he said. I would definitely prefer that people mention my molcajetes, my red snapper, and especially my carne asada, that we charbroil. Not too many people notice it. For us, it was already an astounding experience. While I didn't have the time to order the pescado guachinango dorado, a whole deep-fried fresh red snapper fish that takes upwards of 30 minutes to prepare, we did not leave hungry. Between two bowls of freshly made salsas, plates of pork, enchiladas, and a gigantic broiled molcajete filled with shrimp and bacon, we were well enough off. We will be coming back to get that red snapper. Fish heads, dive bars, and pozole. I wish you could fry up a pile of fish heads and people would ask for them, because they are really tasty, he said. I think it's about exploring and trying something different. You might not think you want a Mexican blood sausage, but you should try it. You might not think you want fish head tacos, but you should try it. George Fromero is someone you know, and if not by name, then by reputation. In Iowa, Chef Fromero is something of a culinary titan. He co-founded Orchestrate Hospitality, the restaurant group behind Zombie Burger Plus Drink Lab, Centro, Django, Bubba, and Gateway Market, just to name a few. Deep in Des Moines on Mulberry Street, in what was once the historic fire station number 1, is Chef Fromero's Mallow, an award-winning and upscale Latin restaurant that has wowed critics near and far. This kind of food is my favorite kind to cook, even when I'm not at work. I fell in love with Mexican people, Mexican culture, and Mexico itself, Fromero said of the concept. Throughout his years of travel to Mexico, Fromero built memories that continue to inspire awe and deep appreciation for the culture. While his family was content to sunbathe on the beach, Fromero was not. Often, he would find himself in a taxi or a bus down to a city market, where he would peruse crowded streets filled with stalls of freshly processed meats and produce of all kinds. He learned about fish heads, blood sausages, pork stomachs, and beef tongues. He explored everything with insider hearing, experimented with the kinds of local dishes that have inspired so many chefs around the world to push Mexican cuisine farther every year. The name for this restaurant itself comes from a moment in time from Arrowhead in Mexico while he was having a bowl of pozole at a downtown dive bar. As a flirtatious couple teased and gave each other coquettish smiles, Fromero overheard the woman sigh a drawn-out, "Oh, malo." I asked the bartender, "What does this word mean?" He explains to me it means bad, but it doesn't mean bad in a bad way, he laughs. I loved this word, the way she used it. I said, one day I'll have this restaurant and call it Mallow. The playfulness and the nostalgic appreciation of these moments all drove Fromero's energy. It led him to experiment with and play tribute to the chefs he learned from and cooked with. All these experiences, blends, and interpretations are unique and authentic. And while Fromero expressively dislikes the word authentic, the care and admiration at Mallow is palpable. Mallow didn't come from a place of, I don't like the Mexican restaurants here, so I'll open someplace better. It wasn't that. It was from, man, I love these people so much, and this is food I love and that I want to share with people in a way that, maybe, they weren't getting elsewhere. For this reason, chefs like Fromero and Merguia take two different approaches, where Merguia excels at passing on recipes and experiences learned from the family farm and restaurants, Fromero excels at passing on the excitement he has from decades of travel, classical training, and mastery of his art form in the form of homage. While I had to meet with Chef Fromero alone during his off hours when the restaurant was closed, I look forward to sharing the delicious hand-pressed tortillas and wood-fired roast taco meats with the team when we visit again. He bid us a good trip and gave some last tips on appreciating the travels this food took from Mexico to arrive here in the Midwest. Mexican cuisine is deeply historied, filled with innovation and collected stories from across five centuries. It is a family farm with hand-picked tomatoes. It is an inner-city market with pots of frying fish heads. It's both passed on family know-how and studious observance while creating a tribute. And chefs everywhere are continuing to push Mexican cuisine to new heights. The Michelin Guide, the almighty judge on high of who's who in the food world, has recently given the coveted Michelin stars to restaurants in California, New York, Spain, and France for Mexican cuisine. But before any of those, there was Chicago, the landing place of Michelin's first stars for Mexican food. And that's where we go next.